Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and thanks for joining as we continue our study through the Old Testament. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 41 beginning, but before we do, as always, we'd like to start you out with things that we have on the bulletin board, events that we've been made aware of, and maybe you can make your way to these locations. Participate, encourage, and be edified as well. Well, the gospel meeting began yesterday at the Lovelady Church of Christ. John Moore is conducting this meeting, dealing with the Bible land passages. He is going to talk tonight at 7 p.m., walking where David walked, from shepherding through kingship. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., walking where Jesus walked, from infancy through ministry, and then he will conclude Wednesday, walking where Jesus walked, from passion to glory. That will be at 7 p.m. nightly at the Lovelady Church of Christ in Lovelady, Texas. Then, ladies, you have an opportunity this weekend at the Maud Church of Christ. Cindy Colley will be holding a Ladies' Day there. That is Saturday, September the 30th, beginning at 9:30 a.m., the theme, Living the Abundant Life. Registration begins at 9. Refreshments and lunch will be provided, but they ask that if possible, RSVP, or you can call for more information, 903-585-2371. B.J. Clark will be coming and holding a meeting at the Carriage Oaks Congregation in Bossier City, Louisiana. That will be October the 1st through October the 4th. And the theme, Building on the Solid Rock. Things will kick off Sunday morning. The foundation of our faith, the foundation of our obedience, and Christ, the rock in the wilderness. Monday night at 7 p.m., are you in the house built upon the rock? And then Tuesday, the Shifting Sands of Denominationalism, and finally on Wednesday, the Foundation of the Home, or Our Homes. You can get information about this meeting by calling the Brethren at the Carriage Oaks Congregation at 318-741-3016 or going to their webpage, cochurchofchrist.org. That's Carriage Oaks Church of Christ at 5661 Shed Road there in Bossier City, Louisiana. Well, the West Hill congregation has a meeting scheduled, our lecture series scheduled, October the 8th through the 11th, The Abundant Life Here and Hereafter. The lectures at West Hill. They'll kick off on Sunday and they will run through Wednesday. Going to have multiple speakers each day for this series of lectures. Sunday, Todd Creighton, Biblical Authority for an Abundant Life, and Melvin Ote, Congregational Worship for an Abundant Life. And both speakers will have two lessons that day. Tavarius Armstrong, as well as Steve Higginbotham and Wayne Jones and various speakers will have lessons on Tuesday, and ladies' classes with Rose Creighton on Monday. Melvin Ote speaking again, as well as Wayne Jones, Todd Creighton, and Steve Higginbotham. Have another various speakers on Wednesday, and you can get the information about this meeting by going to their webpage. That is at the WestHillChurchOfChrist.org, or just give them a call, 903-872-5696. And then also you're invited to a East Texas Area Singing School, Saturday, October the 14th, 2 to 5 p.m. It's hosted by the Central Congregation in Athens, and they are going to have Jason Sparks teach this singing school. Jason, he directs the Green Valley Bible Camp in Rogers, Arkansas, their singing school week, and they invite you to come and be a part of that. Again, that is at the Athens the Central Church of Christ in Athens on October the 14th. And then finally on the bulletin board this morning, Back to the Bible lectures, October 14th through the 15th. This is going to be at the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Saturday, things will kick off at 2 p.m. Christ is the Good Shepherd with Mel Hutzler. Carl McCann will follow with Christ is the Head of the Church. Tim Burroughs, Christ is Our Passover. And then at 5 p.m. Saturday, John McCarron, Christ is Our High Priest. Sunday, Josh Moore will take Christ is the Word. And Brian Braswell will finish things out that morning with Christ is Our Example. You can give them a call at 254-386-3953 to get further information about the Back to the Bible lectures. Well, that's all we have on the bulletin board this morning. Do us a favor. If you know something that we have not been made aware of, shoot us an email, mornings@tgrn.org. Again, that's mornings@tgrn.org, and we'll do our very best to get that information out in a timely manner so that folks will be aware of those events. Going to take a break before we begin our study this morning, so stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome back to Mornings with the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I'm your host, Richard Rutledge, and once again, I thank you for being with us as we continue our study through the Old Testament. Today, turning our attention to the book of Isaiah, chapters 41 on our schedule through 48. And we are looking at the confrontation or the contest between Jehovah God and the idols that are going to be mentioned here. We are not going to have time to go in detail through these verses, this text. I mean, we have 29 verses in chapter 41 alone. And so we're going to go through here and make some comments as we have time, noting a few things as we begin. In this chapter, we start with God giving a call for the people to listen. He says, "Keep silent before me, O coastlands, and let all the people renew their strength, and let them come near, and let them speak, and let us come near together for judgment." He calls the island area of the Mediterraneans and the coastlands to listen to what he has to say. He reminds them that it is he who has called this one up from the east. Many, as we go through, have an understanding that this is speaking of Cyrus, and no doubt of this, because later he's going to be mentioned. If we're over in Isaiah 44 and we drop down to verse number 28, he says, "Who says of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure,' saying to Jerusalem, 'You shall be built,' and to the temple, 'Your foundation shall be laid?'" God has, in his prophecy through Isaiah, shown that Cyrus is going to bring the people back, allow the people to go back. And we know this to be true, that this captivity would come to an end. But he speaks here in chapter 41, reminding the people that he who has raised up one from the east, who's in righteousness called him to his feet, who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings, who gave them as the dust of his sword and driven stubble to his bow, who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. God testifies that he is the one who raised Cyrus up. But the people then clamor for others for help. Notice verses 5 through 7, as they are going to look in another direction. The coastland saw it, and they feared, and the ends of the earth were afraid, and they drew near and came, and everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, "Be of good courage." And so the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smoothed with the hammer inspired him who strikes with the anvil, saying, "It is ready for the soldering." Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. These individuals were hoping even for their idols and creating even more for them to save them. But notice God then addressing Israel in verses 8 through 20, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, the friend of God." He says, "Abraham, my friend," the great blessings that the descendants could and would enjoy. He says, "You are different." Now notice as he goes on, he says, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, 'You are my servant, I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous hand.' Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced, and they shall be as nothing, And those who strive with you shall perish, and you shall seek them and not find them. And those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existing thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, Fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth, and you shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and make the hills like chaff. And you shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord, and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. And I will plant in the wilderness a cedar and an acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and that the Holy One of Israel has created it. He addresses Israel and reminds them that, yes, they are a special people, and yes, he will continually care for them. The Hebrew writer reminds us in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, that we should be content with the things which we have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What shall man do to me? They can trust in God. He will bring them into safety. But then in the remainder, he then addresses the idols. Present your case, verse 21, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the king of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us the things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Indeed, you are nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. God now directs this confrontation towards the idols. He said, present your best case, you idols, and do something. Either do good for those who believe in you, or do evil to those who oppose you, that we may be dismayed as we see your power. It reminds me of that event that took place as Elijah stood there on Mount Carmel, and he allowed those to prophets of Baal, and mocking them, says to them, cry louder. Maybe he is on a journey. Maybe he's asleep, and he doesn't hear you. But they could do nothing. And so God says, indeed, for you are nothing, and your work is nothing, and the man who trusts in you is nothing more than an abomination. He directs his attention back now to Cyrus, as he had mentioned in verse number 2, when he said that he would raise up. Remember in verse 2, who raised up one from the east? Well, it was God who said he had raised him up and would raise him up. But he says, I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun. He shall call my name, and he shall come against princes as through mortar, and the potters tread clay. He said at first he would raise him from the east, now from the north. Contradiction? Well, no. It is the fact that when we look at Persia and its location in proximity to Judah, it would be to the east. But looking at Jeremiah in Jeremiah's chapter 1, 6, and 25, they all point out the fact that Judah was attacked from the north, including an attack, an invasion by Persia itself would come from the north. And so God has raised him up, and he is Cyrus, and he says he would call my name here as well. He raised up this one, and he would call the name of the Lord here. Well, he does just that in Ezra chapter 1, verse number 2. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. The chapter goes on in verse number 26. Who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and former times that we may say, he is righteous? Surely there is no one who shows. Surely there is no one who declares. Surely there is no one who hears your words. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are, and I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. For I looked, and there was no man, and I looked among them, but there was no counselor who, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing, and their molded images are wind and confusion. None of their idols, none of their soothsayers, none of their pretended prophets or priests could make these predictions. They were altogether useless, altogether worthless. Now let's look at chapter 42 in the time that we have. In this chapter, we're going to note God's servant and Israel's punishment. God's servant there first in these first nine verses, the servant, verses 1 through 4. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise up his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. He points out the characteristics of this servant. This servant is going to be a meek and unassuming individual. He's going to be very successful in what he does. He is a servant. And Jesus fulfills all of these precisely. He is my servant. He is the one who I will uphold, God says. He is the elect one or chosen one of God. He says, in him his soul delights. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, at his baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, verse 5, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He says, I've also put my spirit on him, showing exactly these things. He also then shows this relationship between the servant and God as he continues now through verse 9. Thus God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to all the people of it and the spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the Gentiles, and to open the blind eyes and to bring out prisoners from the prison and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, and with my name and my glory, I will not give to another. nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea, and all that is in them, that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. He said, this is what he is going to do. His servant is going to be meek. He's going to be lowly. He's going to be successful. He's going to be one who God works with and through. He said, I've called you in righteousness. He's going to hold up his hand. He is going to give him the ability to heal and to work wonders and miracles. Again, he speaks that he is the one who has created these things, and he is the one who created all things. He upholds his creation. Remember in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3, Jesus is the power by which it's up even upheld. He goes on then in verses 10 and following, this song of praise, a new song, as we drifted into just briefly. He says, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. You who have gone down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits, and let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastland. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man, and he shall stir up his zeal like a man of war, and he shall cry out, yes, shout out loud, and he shall prevail against his enemies. I have held my peace a long time, and I have been still and restrained myself. And now I cry like a woman in labor, and I will pant and gasp at once, and I will lay waste to the mountains and the hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by the way they did not know, and I will lead them in paths that they could not know, have known. And I will make darkness light before them, and the crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, and they shall be greatly ashamed, who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, you are our gods. God, through Isaiah, reminds the people that he had restrained himself for some time, but ultimately his punishment would come, and these idols would show the fact that they are nothing. Here again, it says that these are the gods. That's what they are saying. He says, they have turned their back, and they shall be greatly ashamed. Who? Those who have trusted in these carved images, who say to the molded image, you are our gods. Remember, this is exactly what happened back in Exodus chapter 32. While God had summoned Moses to the mountaintop, the children of Israel remained behind, and there Aaron took the gold from the people, fashioned it, it says, into a calf. Exodus 32 and verse 4, he received them at their hand, fashioned it with the graving tool, and afterwards he had made it into a molten calf. And they said, these be your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. It wasn't bad enough there, but we would also see a similar incident take place in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28, when Jeroboam, worried that the children would return to Jerusalem, it was too much for them. It says in 1 Kings 12:28, whereupon the king took counsel, and he made two calves of gold, and he said unto them, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. God says, these are the people who have said to these molded and carved images, you are our gods. You are our gods. Yeah, and they are no gods at all. Now God's attention is turned to Israel, that blind, deaf servant, and the punishment that would come upon them. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and is blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you do not observe. Opening the ears, but he does not hear. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, and he will exalt the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered, and all of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses, and they are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one says, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder, and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord, he against whom we have all sinned? For they would not walk in his way, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore he poured out on him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. He says, why is all of this happening? Why? Because they forsook God's law. They turned away from following him, and this deaf, blind servant would be punished, and punished even by God allowing it to happen in such a way. Chapter 42. Let's quickly now turn our attention to 43. The attention now turns to the salvation that God will offer to Israel, a renewed promise that he is going to offer of this deliverance and protection that would be theirs. The chapter begins, but now. In other words, yes, we've concluded these thoughts that there was a deaf, blind servant and the punishment would come. But he says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he has formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for your place, since you were precious in my sight, and you have been honored, and I have loved you, and therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. God reminds Israel that it was he who has created them, just as he has created us all. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves, for we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is God who has created. It is God who cares. Yes, there are going to be hard times. They're going to pass through the waters. They're going to go through the rivers. They will pass through the fires, but they will endure. He said, I will be with you. I am your God. You, Israel, are precious in my sight. He continues on now, and notice verses 5 through 7. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears, and let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this, and show us the former things. Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. God says, I will bring you back. There's going to be a time of persecution. There's going to be a time of captivity, but you will be called back. And he would bring them in. There is the encouragement that God will gather the descendants from all throughout the earth. But now he also challenges Israel and the nations about. Notice, let's go through verse number 13. He says, bring out the blind, you people, bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears, and let all the nations be gathered and let them be assembled. Who among you can declare this and show us the former things? Who can do this? Who he wants to know, and he challenges them to do so. But it goes on. He says, indeed, I am the Lord. There's none beside me. Verse 11. There is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have proclaimed, and there is no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witness, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your God, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horses and the armies and the power. They shall lie down together, and they shall not rise. They are extinguished, and they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, and the beast of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary for me, O Israel. Let's back up just a bit. God has reminded them that he has this ability, the ability to redeem them. He's going to bring them out of this Babylonian captivity. Deliverance from that is going to happen. But he has the strength, and he does care for all, even all of the creation. But it goes on, he says, but you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor worried you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fats of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins, and you have wearied me with your iniquities. God says, you brought nothing for me, but you have cast these things. I, even I, he am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your cause, that you may be acquitted. Your first father sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary and will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to the reproaches. 44. In chapter 44 now, we have another 28 verses. And let's note, it begins with yet, pointing back to the end of the last chapter. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Yes, there was a curse, but there are also blessings in spite of it. Notice verses 2 through 5. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessings on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's, and another will call himself by the name of Jacob. And another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and the name of himself by the name of Israel. There would still be some blessings that they would enjoy. And God says that these people would be called by his name. But there is one God, and that is the only God, Israel's. Notice verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. Here is one Lord and one King. He is the King of Israel. And his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set an order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witness. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. God says, you know that there was no one except me in the wilderness with you, who cared for you day by day, year by year. There was no foreign God that could take any credit. There was Jehovah God and Jehovah God only. But then as he continues, 9 through about verse number 20, he shows this shame and the folly of their idolatry. Notice what he says. He says, those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witness, and they neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? Surely all of his companions would be ashamed, and the workmen, they are mere men. Let them all be gathered together, and let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. See, the blacksmith with the tongs works with one of the coals. He fashions it with hammers, and he works it with the strength of his arms. Even so, he is hungry, and his strength fails. And he drinks no water, and he is faint. The craftsman stretches out his rule, and he marks one with chalk, and he fashions it with a plane. And he marks it out with a compass, and he makes it in the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that he may remain in the house. He cuts down a cedar for himself, and then he takes the cypress and the oak, and he secures it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine, and the rain nourishes it. And then it shall be for a man to burn. For he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god to worship and worships it, and he makes it, and he carves an image, and he falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire, and with this half he eats his meat and roasts a roast and is satisfied and even warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image, and he falls down before it and he worships it and prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, "I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals, and I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest into an abomination? Shall I fall down before it, a block of wood?" He feeds on the ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?" Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servants. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. He reminds them of the dangers and the folly of this nonsense of idolatry. And when you put it in such commonsensical statements, it makes you wonder who in the world would ever do such a thing. And that's what God is saying. You cut down a tree, you take half of it, you warm your house, you cook your food, and the other half becomes your God. And now you say, "This is your God, which you created," but the other half burned in the fireplace. But Israel, this is not so for you. He says that you, O Israel, will not be forgotten. I have blotted out, like a thick cloud, your transgressions, and like a cloud, your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens of the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forests, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. There is a pardon for the iniquity that they had committed. And there would be a deliverer as well. Notice as he continues in verses 24 to 28, he gives Cyrus a name. "Thus says he, the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsels of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, 'You shall be inhabited,' and to the cities of Judah, 'You shall be built,' and I will raise up her wasted places, and who says to the deep, 'Be dry,' and I will dry up your rivers, and who says to Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure,' saying to Jerusalem, 'You shall be built,' and to the temple, 'Your foundation shall be laid.'" Who has that power? None but God. Not some stick that has been carved, but Jehovah God alone. Notice what he says about it, that God's knowledge turns these men into fools. He frustrates the signs of the babblers, and he drives the diviners mad. He makes their knowledge into foolishness. Oh, how they pull their hair out when they have to deal with God. But it is God who has the power. Let's quickly notice chapter 45 now. Again, he brings about Cyrus and the mission that he is to accomplish. "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of the kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and for Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, and though you have not known me, I am the Lord, and there is no other God besides me. And I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun into the setting that there is none besides me, for I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness, and I make peace and create calamity, and I, the Lord, do all things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour out righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. In verse number 9 now, the attention turns to a response to Israel. Notice verses 9 through 13. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, and you command me. I have made the earth and created it, and man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens and all their hosts, and I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. They may have complained about God using Cyrus, using Persia, but he says, who are you to question my means of accomplishing these tasks? I am the one who created you, and I have called Cyrus in righteousness, and he will do these things. He's going to build my city. He's going to allow those exiles to return. And so it is God who is in control, and he reminds them of this. Verses 14 to 17, the effect of this redemption of Israel, how it will affect those around about them. And notice verses 14 through 16. Thus says the Lord, the laborer of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush, and for the Sabines, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours, and they shall walk behind you, and they shall come over in chains, and they shall bow down to you, and they will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you, and there is no other, and there is no other God. Truly, you are God, who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also disgraced in all of them, and they shall go in confusion together, who are the makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. Well, as I mentioned as we began, time will escape us, and it has, not only halfway, a little over halfway through the text, but you can continue reading as it continues here in chapter 45, God reminding them of he is the only God, the one who has created the world and all that is in it, and the remainder of our section through chapter 48, as Ryan will pick up tomorrow following that section from Mornings for the Master at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. But until next time, you have listening opportunities with Good News Today with Jim Dearman in just a few moments, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. Don't forget that there are also numerous listening opportunities throughout the day. Check the schedule, find you a new program, and give it a chance. We hope that you, we know that you will benefit from that, and you may even find a new favorite. Till next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.